as we were singing that song, and it's a song that hymn that we sing only, I think only, maybe you can correct me, Justin. Do we sing this at any other time except for Pentecost? Yeah. Ah, that's right. We sing the tune, but we don't necessarily sing these words. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove. These are words that are peculiar to this particular holiday and feast day in the life of the church. And so we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. And for the people of God, as they gathered in Jerusalem, the apostles of Jesus Christ, what a day that must have been. We hear in our gospel, or our first reading this morning, we know it is in Jerusalem. We know it is the day of Pentecost, which is a feast day in the Jewish religion. It is a day of celebrating God's abundance 7 weeks after Passover. And so Jews from all over the world had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast day. And in the midst of this, and as we hear later in the text in the morning, because Peter lets us know that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit appears to the apostles of Jesus Christ, and he appears in a remarkable way, with a great rush of violent wind, with tongues as of fire, which appear over the heads of all of the apostles, and with the gift of voices, voices in different languages, speaking native languages of each, according to the people who had come for this wonderful feast day. And so people were able to hear words of praise to God in their own language, although Galileans did not speak so many languages. In fact, Galileans were treated poorly by other people as being kind of backward people. Indeed, they were able to speak languages that they should not have been able to speak. And of course, the question comes up, after all were amazed and perplexed, what does this mean? Of course, this is where Peter has the opportunity to take the lead and tell the people what has happened. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you may suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he goes on to explain what the last days will be about. Now, some people, of course, like to think about the last days, and they will ask me, Pastor, do you think we're in the last days? And I will tell you, for a fact, yes, we are in the last days. But in fact, we have been in the last days since the first Pentecost. We've been here. You know when it really starts is when you begin to see some of the other portents that are mentioned here. And ultimately, when Jesus appears, yes, that's kind of the end of the last days. What a great thing it is to be there at the beginning. What a marvelous thing it must have been to see the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed on the apostles, to see their lives radically changed by a gift. I sometimes think, when you think about the Energizer Bunny, the thing that makes the Energizer Bunny move, of course, is an Energizer battery. The thing that makes the church move is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power came so many years ago, and that power continues this day. And in fact, we renew that power as we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power and celebrate Pentecost. And so it's Tricia and Nora and Emily and Grace, your lives are changing. How about that? This is something that's going to happen. Your life is going to change today. I don't know how it's going to change, but I know the Holy Spirit's going to be doing things in your life, perhaps that the Holy Spirit's never done before. Just keep an eye out for those things. God has a plan for each and every one of you. It, in some ways, began before you were born. But I get a feeling it's going to pick up some steam today. I think you're going to see some changes in your spiritual life. And I think we're going to help you with that. This congregation and your friends and your family will help you to be strong in your faith. What a beautiful thing it is to be there at the beginning. You know, some people, I think about some of these marvelous companies that are megaliths in our day. You know, your Amazons and your Googles. And, you know, how did this all happen? How it must have been to be there on day one when they were putting these things together and the idea was just being formed. How wonderful it must have been there when the Holy Spirit was beginning to direct the church, when lives were beginning to be changed. And in many ways, we're here as the lives of four people are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in many ways, we're always at the beginning. We're never quite in the middle. And only once will we come to the end. We're always kind of learning. The Holy Spirit is always kind of teaching us. When you think you know everything, you probably know nothing at all. So if you wonder about things, that's a good thing. Because it means you're willing to listen and learn. Some of you are married. Some of you are in relationships with other people. Some of you have children. If you think you know the person you love perfectly, you're absolutely wrong. You're always, human beings are always being unpacked by other human beings. We're always learning. There's always layers. We're always kind of finding another layer, or perhaps things have changed. So it is with God and God's Holy Spirit. When you think you know everything about Scripture and about God and how God works and what's going to happen next, forget it. You're just so far off the track. You need to come back. There are some people who believe that when our young people are confirmed, they're done with their spiritual faith. They now have learned all they need to know about God and the church. Let me tell you, I can't imagine anything further from the truth. Our confirmation program is a beginning. It is a beginning. And so now our four confirmands will be able to build on that teaching, on that learning, on their faith. And as they continue to go to church, and as they continue to hear Scripture, and as they continue to pray and sing, and as they continue to reach out with the love of Christ, their lives will continue to grow and enrich. That's how it works. Even among us who have been in the church for many years, the truth is we're always learning. If you're not learning, well, frankly, I tend to think you're dead if you're not learning. If you think you know everything, you're, again, absolutely wrong. If you're not willing to learn, that's a problem. God's word should always be speaking something new into your life and into your heart. Something you had not perhaps even expected. And so, you know, the church is a place of life. It is a dynamic place. It is a place where lives are changed and where gifts are shared and where there is power and new life. Because the world needs that. If you listen enough to what goes on in the world, if you listen to enough commercials and enough things on the internet, if you listen to it, it begins to drone on after a while. It sounds pretty similar to what you heard yesterday, probably what you'll hear tomorrow. Even the things that are new begin to sound similar. What is new? What is life itself? What is joy? Is what God gives to us. And he gives it to us through his Scripture, through his prayer, through prayers, through good Christian fellowship, and certainly through the sacrament of Holy Communion. We celebrate Holy Communion today, even as we remember the promises that God has made to us in baptism, that we are not alone, that our sins are forgiven, and that in Jesus Christ we have hope and life in this world and the next. My hope for all of our confirmands, and certainly my hope for all of us, is that you take away from this service a belief that the Holy Spirit is alive and working not only in the church as a whole, but in your congregation and in each and every life of each and every Christian. God is working something in you today. God is doing something to change your life today. None of us are perfect yet, but God, through his means, is perfecting us through our joys and through our difficulties, and as we share our faith with others, God is making us a little closer to his own image and likeness. And that is a good thing. Even when it's not easy, it's a good thing. And so let us celebrate our confirmands today. Let us pray for them and wish them well. Let us be models of faith for them. For indeed, they need models of faith. There are lots of prominent models of disfaith and disbelief out in the world. There are a lot of people who say, get it while you can, keep it as long as you can, and fight off anyone who wants it. Take it away from you. That is not a good model for faith. That is not a good way to live your life. Let us be strong in our faith that they might be stronger in their faith. And let us offer them opportunities to lead in the life of the church. We sometimes see that our young people don't have an opportunity to share their gifts with others as they might be able to. Perhaps they're a little hesitant to do so. Let us encourage them. Let us find opportunities so that they can express their faith as they are able and be a blessing to us in whatever way they choose. And certainly on this day, let us give thanks to God, who continues to give life to the church in various ways, through various means.